We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is a kickoff coverage song.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Bobby Hebert on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Edgar Thompson, who covers the Florida Gators for the Orlando Sentinel. So, Edgar, make sure that you got a little bit of that in before we got you on.
Oh, yeah. Edgar, how can you not love Zeppelin? Come on.
How can I not? That's my favorite band. I want to request lines. Yeah. I was air drumming over here, man. You should have seen me. I got that beat down.
Edgar, just a weird situation now. Back-to-back years. Man, LSU rolled in last year, freshman quarterback, no confidence. They were getting the stuffing kicked out of them. And lo and behold, they hang in there, and you have the shoe incident. And then, you know, you get a kicker who can't even see the goalpost, pops one from over 50 yards to win the game for the Tigers. And now you get a really weird type of vibe with this game, too, with the fact that LSU doesn't have now Elias Ricks won't be in the lineup. Looks like Jay Ward's going to miss that particular game, too. Stingley's out. He'll never play in an LSU right. uniform again. Kayshawn Boutte is not playing. And it's almost like, you know, they say in the South, lightning don't hit twice in the same spot. Well, that's a bunch of horse hockey because you live out in the country, you didn't see it happen. But, man, this a weird sort of vibe again for a game that looks as though Florida should take care of business easily.
That game last year was one of the wildest experiences as a sports writer. Now, I've been covering – next month will be 31 years I've been covering sports at a daily newspaper. And so I've seen a lot of games. And – I've never seen a 57-yard field goal, I don't believe. And the thing is, I still haven't, because you couldn't see the dang field from the press box. It was like the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. I was ready for Ichabod Crane to come riding out with the headless horses. I mean, it was crazy. It was eerie. It was just a wild night in the swamp, one of the wildest. And I tell you, at halftime of that game, I remember talking to a couple of the writers. One is Mark Long, the AP writer. I was just actually on the phone with him and had to hang up on him when you guys called. And he covers the Jags, too, so he's been around a lot of football. And we were talking about that game, and I said, you remember last year at halftime, dude, I told you LSU has some players, man. They might not be second and third string. LSU looks pretty talented. They were just long, athletic, rangy-looking athletes. I mean, that's your recruiting
right.
year after year after year of recruiting. And they can just play. And they were making plays. And the Gators, you know, I think they overlooked the game. I mean, Emory Jones even admitted that they got a little bit comfortable. He said, we weren't looking ahead, but we were a little comfortable going into that game. And then Dan Mullen clearly was comfortable because he didn't play Kyle Pitts that night. He's like, yeah, we're just going to sit him
right.
because he's banged up. Well, that's football, dude. You played football for years. You watch guys, you know, barely able to walk, you know, the day before a game probably, and then going out on Sunday and playing. And then, like, going right back into that, like, shell for another, you know, 6 days for the game. That's how the game works at that time of the year. You're in week 10, man. You're banged up. So they didn't play Kyle Pitts, and it was a little bit of, I don't want to say arrogance, but it was certainly really kind of, you know, it was overlooking LSU a bit, and it got bit them in the butt, and it cost them big time, because then playing Alabama the next week, they played Alabama so closely in that game. Now, they wouldn't have slipped into the playoff as a two-loss team,
right?
But nonetheless, it just put a damper on the whole season. They ended up skidding to the end, three-game losing streak, and everybody was mad at the end of that season. And it began that night.
Yeah. Now, Edgar, when you look at pick to finish second in the SEC East, Florida, mm-hmm. you'd have to say he's facing an uphill climb to keep pace with the Georgia Bulldogs. To me, Georgia has a national championship defense. Would you get out of the quarterback position? But because of losses to Alabama and Kentucky, the toughest game on the left on the schedule is the showdown with Georgia, October the 30th. But the other five, you say very winnable. Do you think they overlook LSU considering all the adversity they're facing?
Well, I tell you, if they are overlooking LSU, I mean, I just don't see how after what happened last year and the fact that they lost that Kentucky game. That Kentucky game was a reality check. They went up there. They played one of the sloppiest football games I've ever seen. Dan Mullen was furious, frustrated. They get in the red zone twice at the end of the game with a chance to tie, win the game maybe. And they score 3 points, and they have 3 false start penalties. They had as many false starts as points on 2 trips inside the red zone. They had 15 penalties, 8 false starts. I mean, it was just a debacle on every level. They blocked field goal was how Kentucky won the game. They blocked the field goal right back. So it was just a sloppy game. It was a total flop. They were the better team probably, but I mean, Mark Stoops, I'm just not discounting what that man's done there. I mean, Kentucky,
yes.
He has done a hellacious job there, but the Gators, you know, so now they have no margin for error. And I don't even know what that's even for, because they're not going to beat Georgia. You wouldn't think Dan will have a good game plan. They're going to be more competitive in that game than I think people think. I don't think they're going to win it, but they're going to be competitive, I think, at least for a while in that game. But then you're 5-3, and you're still only looking at like a 9-3 season at best at that point. So you lose this game, you're coming out October 4-4. Oh, the Natives are going to be restless. There are already a lot of restless Gator fans here right now with the way things are going under Dan Mullen this year.
Edgar, would you say this team sort of plays up to the level of the competition? That's what it looks like, from an outsider looking in. That's what it looks like here.
No, you nailed it, man. I mean, people have said that to me. I'm like, yeah, come to think of it. But I do think there's a few things at work here. I think that Emory Jones maybe is not as far along as people expected, including probably Dan Mullen, though he wouldn't admit it. He doesn't really see the field great in the passing game. He doesn't like Kyle Trask. I mean, it was like that guy just like he could throw all kinds of different plays, passes.
Yep.
Emory Jones throws a lot of hitch routes, and that's about it. Maybe takes a shot here and there. He doesn't really, the passing game is not very expansive.
But he can
Emory.
Run, Edgar. No. He can
he
run.
He can run.
No, he can definitely run. He's talented. Don't get me wrong. But until he gets better at, you know, and I don't know whether that happens. I mean, Bobby, you tell me. Either do you have it or you don't, or can you learn it as seeing the field as a quarterback? I mean,
no.
Dan can train these guys.
No.
Either you got it or you don't.
No, if he's trying to be an NFL quarterback, no. That it's not like Lamar Jackson. No, he's not an NFL quarterback. But the college level, yeah, I still think he can excel at a high level. Now, Edgar, the one thing what I look at is that if the defense continues to do this, now, this is a sample size when you look at what are you giving up per game at this day and age? Oh, we have to score at least 30 points. I'm looking at this would impress me. Right now, the Gators are ninth in scoring defense. They're giving up 15.5 points per game. Now, you know, you look at different opponents who you're playing. But that's like NFL, because the NFL even looks at, boy, if your defense at the highest level, scoring defense, and you're giving up 19.5 points or less, shame on you if you don't win. So if they keep, I don't know what's happening against Georgia, but if they could be stout defensively and they given up in the teens, well, I would say shame on the Florida offense if they don't win.
Edgar, to piggyback what Bob was saying is that I think if it's a surprise with Florida this year is how, now the Alabama game was a bit of a misnomer
right.
because of how they jumped on them. But, man, Grantham's defense has played much better than they did a year ago so far.
There's no doubt. I mean, last year was historically bad. They gave up 30.8 points a game last year, which, by the way, was like 7th or 8th in the league. So there was a lot of bad defense being played. COVID-related, I think, potentially, because there was just no tackling. There was no, like, you know, there was no, like, cohesion being on these defenses last year, right? But this year's defense is better, for sure. There's still too many missed tackles. That really hurt them against Alabama. They'll be the first to admit the tackling needs to improve. But the front seven stout, Zach Carter is a bona fide top 50 pick. He's a very good player. The defensive tackle transfers, they have three of them, two Auburn guys and a Penn State kid, are coming on. They're pretty stout in the middle. The linebacker play could improve, to be honest, a bit, but that's being a little nitpicky. I worry about the safety sometimes, but Rashad Torrance is coming along, but they really need Kyrie Elam back, starting now. Kyrie Elam, all SEC corners, missed three games since the Bama game, and you start to wonder, guys, is how hurt is he? We keep hearing he's coming back. Now, I'm not saying he's not injured, his knee's not bothering him, but you start wondering, when do you reach a point in a season when you're a potential first-round draft pick where you're kind of like, eh, I'm not going to play anymore this season.
We're living in that world, Edgar. It's happening everywhere.
I don't know what's going on with that. We thought he was going to play last week, but if he doesn't play against LSU, they got to really worry because, I mean, he better show up for the Georgia game or else. But to LSU, period, on that game, the Gators should win this football game by all accounts. But, you know, it's an 11 a.m. start. Weird things always happen in this series. Guys, seven straight games. Six have been one-possession games, and the other was that 19 shootout where the Gators went toe-to-toe until late in the fourth quarter. So this is always a competitive, exciting game. Even last year's, which was, as you guys point out, wasn't even supposed to be a game, was, like, riveting. So I expect it to be a hard-fought game. These are two teams that don't like each other, two programs. It's the best crossover rivalry in the SEC, I think.
And, you know, Edgar, along those lines, when you talk about the series, you talk about parity. This is like almost NFL-like that Florida leads the series 33-31, and you got three ties. And then you look at the expansion SEC down the road when you bring it on board Oklahoma, Texas, and all that. But I'm going to miss if this does not occur. I like what LSU and Florida play.
They've been playing every year since 1971. I was five then. I mean, it's a 50-year series right now.
Whoa.
It's a great, great series. And Dan Mullen talks about, like, the permanent crossovers, and he wishes they kind of get rid of it because he wants players to experience all the teams and go to all the places. And I do appreciate that aspect. But if you go up to a nine-game schedule – I personally wish they'd even make it 10, but 9 at least. I hope they keep it because I don't think Nick Saban's going to be happy when they get rid of Alabama, Tennessee. And I think some of these other crossovers, I mean, maybe you don't have quite the tradition of like those two, but, they've become like fans have gotten, you know, used to those.
Yes.
I mean, Ole Miss, Vandy, I mean, who cares about that? But, I mean, LSU, right. Florida is a biggie. And I do think that it's been a great series for both programs and some of the most exciting football games in the league going back to, like, the mid-90s, man. I mean, we're talking, like, Tim Tebow jump pass. We're talking Jacob Hester 5 fourth downs.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking the fake field goal, you know, in 15 where Callaway put on a show and then the Mad Hatter stole it at the end. The goal line stand in 16.
Amen.
I mean, I covered a bunch of these games.
Preach it, Edgar. Preach it. I like it. Yeah.
Edgar, I'll tell you a quick story. It popped in my head. This is 2017, and I want to say Florida was 3-1. LSU had just lost to Troy, and they roll into Gainesville. And Pete Jenkins told me, Mike, I ain't never been more hotter in my life walking on that field. He said it was like I was in the Mojave Desert.
Like the bridge over River Quarter, Burma Jungle.
And he said, Coach O told me, Pete, go back in the locker room and cool off. He said, I was wringing wet. He said it ended up being a missed field goal. LSU ended up winning the game 17-16. But he said what was so vivid with that, and I think my memory's right about this, Tom Petty had just passed away, and he said, man, you know, we dead in the entering the fourth quarter. And they crank up that music. Don't back down. And he said, you know, you could see it. Like, it just didn't pick up, you know, Florida. It picked us up at that time. And, everybody looking at one another and hearing that sound come from that stadium with everybody singing, don't back down. He said, man, we ended up winning. But he said, and I almost died in that game. But I'll always remember the sound of them and singing along to Tom Petty.
That's become a great tradition here. And it's just yet another one in college football. They have them every stadium, everywhere. It's what makes the college game so great. I know you were a longtime NFL player, but And I was a much bigger NFL fan when I came back to Gainesville in 2012 after actually covering the NFL for several years. But I'm a college fan now. The energy of the game, those kind of traditions you're talking about, the bad blood in these rivalries. Look, Ford LSU again, show me a series in the NFL where you've had those kind of results year after year after year after year going back, you know, 6-7 years now. It's been an epic game every single year. And I'm sure this Saturday, I mean, these are two programs. It's a pivotal game for both. I don't know if there's a path for Ed Orgeron to kind of save his, you know, job.
Yep. I mean,
right? Is there? Maybe. I don't know. But
probably not,
if he loses this game, there isn't one.
No.
It's done.
You're right.
So it's got to start here if you have any chance, which is like Mount Everest. Like, Edgar, thanks so much for joining
us, Edgar.
Tonight. Man, great memories, great stories, and, man, we really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm always happy to do it. I look forward to it every year. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. That was Edgar Thompson, who covers the Florida Gators for the Orlando Sentinel. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.